would get up to preach. It's just so comfortable here in this chair. I mean, I can just rock back and forth and enjoy the day, right? The only thing that would make this better is if somebody out there could go get me a cup of coffee and maybe a television. That could work really, really well. Anybody, any takers? It's okay if not, I'll just stay here, right? I mean, there's just so much I have to do today. I have a sermon that people kind of want me to preach sometimes. I have people to greet. I've got to get food together for life group and all kind of get together. I've got stuff to prepare for tonight's singing. I should be helping Megan with our kids, but, you know, I just don't want to move. I'm going to stay right here. There's stuff to do, but this is simply just too nice. I know how I'll get away with it. I'll say I'm in training. I'm training for the ultimate couch potato competition. That's a thing, by the way. So, you know, if I just stretch a little bit, that feels good. Oh, yeah. Yep, this is the life. This is what I'm meant to be doing. You know, if I stay here, nothing can get in my way. This is who I am. Who needs to experience new things? This is what I know and I love. Who needs relationships? If you guys want to hang out with me, there's space available. You're welcome to come on by. Who needs to go out and see the world? If somebody would just go get me that television, I could see the world from right here. It works out pretty well. This is the place I'm meant to stay. All right, we see how silly this is, don't we? Or maybe not. Maybe some of you are like, yeah, that sounds great. You stay right there. I mean, we can't just sit right here forever, and why not? Tell me, what's the problem with staying here? Say it louder. I can't hear you. I'm sorry. There's nothing. Amen. There's nothing wrong with staying here. You've now heard your sermon. All right. What's the problem with staying right here? Everybody else is out there. Okay. All right. I mean, you're welcome to come up here, but they'd get a little crowded. What's that? Eventually I'll die staying. Well, this is morbid, all right? But probably true. If I don't get up, chances are, yeah, eventually, all right? I won't get a paycheck. I'm doing my job, okay? I can't see Bernice. That's a problem. I think she's over there, but I can see everybody else pretty well. I'll have to depend on everybody else to do stuff. Actually, that sounds pretty good. Okay. No, that's true. I eventually might have to, you know, go places. There are things to get done. Okay. There are problems with staying right here, right? I mean, here's the thing. Comfort's nice. We like it. That's why it's comfort. It's comfortable. But it really doesn't do an awful lot for us. I mean, don't get me wrong. Rest is important. It is a good thing. Okay, but rest comes after you've actually done something. You don't get to claim I'm just resting when really I'm just sitting here and minding my own business. We see the problem with staying where we are and staying in the chair. Or maybe we don't. Back in the early 2000s, researchers at Cal Berkeley performed an experiment. In this experiment, they set the optimal conditions for an amoeba. Everything was ideal. They had the right level of moisture. It had the exact perfect temperature. The pH was balanced just to optimum levels. It had access to plenty of food to thrive. All it had to do was do its job and split in two. It had everything it needed to succeed. And the amoeba, when given everything it needed, died. It didn't thrive. It shriveled away. It had everything it needed. Everything was perfectly comfortable. But that was the problem. Without some level of stress, that amoeba couldn't succeed. Without some difficulty to overcome or some challenge in which it could go stronger, it would simply die. You see, we like to live life with no worries and no pain and no stress and no discomfort and no challenge. In essence, we want lives that are perfect comfort. And that's the problem. because comfort often breeds complacency. And that leads to stagnation and atrophy, and yes, Charlotte, to death. It's the discomfort that helps us to grow and to learn. That's why our high school teachers make us read Shakespeare's The Tempest. It's so you get stretched and you feel a little uncomfortable. Or they give you problems like this. If a train leaves Pittsburgh at 11 a.m. going 65 miles an hour and another leaves Boston headed south at 2 p.m., what color would the conductor's tears be? I don't know, right? We're just a little lost in the grand scheme. But these are the things we have to suffer through and to do the work and to put in the blood and sweat and tears, because it teaches us perseverance and persistence. A little stress helps us out. When Megan and I were taking intensive Spanish lessons in Argentina, we always had homework to do. There were usually some assignments to do out of the book and some things that we had to get done. But then the real homework every day was to actually go out and to use whatever it was we'd learned that day. Go to the store, go shopping at the market, talk to somebody on the phone. That's the worst, by the way. Go to a coffee shop. Try to have conversations with people who don't know you and who aren't willing to use English to help you get through. And yes, it is inherently uncomfortable, and you feel a little silly, and frankly, you feel a little bit ignorant. And at one point, I told somebody in Spanish, it was one of my favorite phrases, "I'm a lot smarter in English, I promise," which I'm not certain is true either, but that's okay. The goal was to feel uncomfortable and to mess up and to laugh at yourself when you fall short, because it was the only way you would ever succeed. You see, saying the wrong thing wasn't failure. You only fail if you keep silent and you never use what you're learning. Recently, I've started lifting weights again, and I'm remembering why I love it and also why I really hate it. Okay. Because when you lift weights, it's all about incremental gain, and you sit there and you realize just how weak you were when you started. And you don't progress as quickly as you would like to. Because building muscle is slow, and it hurts. Lifting weights is literally just doing the same repetitive motion over and over while you rip little tears in your muscles, until you can't rip any more tears in your muscles. And then you hurt. And you hurt. And those tears begin to heal themselves. And that's actually what's making you stronger. But that growth comes with discomfort. If you take it easy in weightlifting, you're never going to grow. The easy thing to do would be to stay on the couch, sitting and eating bonbons and watching TV. And let's be honest, some days I do that too. That's okay. But it is true what they say. If there's no pain, no gain. At least that's true in weightlifting. And failure in lifting weights isn't when you try for a weight and you just aren't able to do the repetition. It's not getting up at all. That's what failure is. It's not showing up and trying. Trying and falling short isn't the same thing as failing. And I want us to hear that again. It isn't failure to fall short. We only fail if we never try at all. Sometimes the most important obstacle that we can courageously overcome in our own lives is our complacency, our desire to remain comfortable right where we are. And as we come to the disciples in the boat, we are in the midst of a very uncomfortable situation. The wind is howling. They're in the midst of a storm. The waves are crashing. That salty foam is spraying through the air. When they set out that evening before, they were certainly not hoping for this amount of discomfort, this level of excitement. This isn't what they'd signed up for. You see, they wanted to follow Jesus. Be with Jesus, that guy who could feed people without even really trying. That's the guy they wanted to hang out with. Not sail across the Sea of Galilee and take your chances as to what may come up. But here they are, straining against the oars, trying to keep their boat from capsizing. And when things are at the darkest, and that moment's just before dawn, they see a figure gliding towards them, walking across the foaming waves. and they scream out in panic and fear. And the only explanation that comes to their mind out of all their sleep depravity and all the things they've been suffering is, this is a ghost. And you can imagine them trying to row faster to get away, right? They're terrified and frazzled and at their wits' end. And then Jesus speaks. They hear the sound of their rabbi's voice. Take courage, he says, it is I. Don't be afraid. Out of the tempest, Jesus spoke. In the midst of their storm, he showed up. And if you were the disciples, how would you feel at this moment? Relieved, overjoyed, amazed that Jesus can do what he's doing, freaked out that Jesus can do what he's doing, disbelieving that this is who he says he is, just still in fear because what in the world is going on now? Who knows what we would feel? But what would you do next? I know my next thought would not be what happens, because I love Peter and I admire Peter, but I think Peter's a little bit crazy, because Peter isn't shy about speaking up. You see, sometimes I speak without thinking, but it doesn't happen like this. Peter's bold. Peter's at times a little impetuous. He jumps right out there and says whatever it is he's thinking. So while the other disciples stay silent, Peter speaks up. Lord, if it's you, he replied, then tell me to come to you on the water. And the idea here is stronger than just tell. Other translations use words like bid me and command and order. In a way, Peter is putting Jesus to the test, but it is a test of trust. I believe you can have me do anything, Jesus, so let's go for the impossible. And Peter wasn't afraid to ask. He believed nothing was impossible with Jesus, so let's shoot for the moon. Let's walk on some water. And here's the amazing thing out of this story. Jesus says, come. And I want us to picture that scene in our minds for the moment. I mean, that boat has been rocking back and forth and back and forth and faster than I'm willing to go right now, and up and down and up and down. It has been tossing and turning, and the water has been spraying, and the waves frothing, and the winds whistling, and sails are being whipped back and forth. And that boat is an uncomfortable place to be, but it sure sounds better than the alternative. Most of us wouldn't be willing to get out of the boat if the water was calm and everything out there was still. Most of us wouldn't believe this was possible no matter what. So here's Peter clambering up over the sides and pulling his robe up just a little bit and stepping out onto the waves. It's amazing because Peter walks on water. He gets out and he starts stepping across those waves, and the wind is whipping his hair and his robe, and the waves are still crashing all around him. I'm sure he's getting a little bit wet, but he was striding towards Jesus. But when scripture throws in but, you know something's about to change, right? But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And at that moment, Peter had taken his eyes off of Jesus. The storm drew his attention back. He became startled once again by the chaos that is raging around him, and he became afraid. And he started to sink, which made him more and more afraid, and he cried out at the top of his voice, Lord, save me! But he was close enough to Jesus that Jesus reached down, grabbed him by the hand, pulled him out of the waves, and then leaning in quietly and closely in his ear where nobody else can hear it, he says, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? And he takes him back to the boat, and they get in, and the storm calms down. And it's hard for us not to notice the failure here in our story. Are you struck by it like I am? You see, we kind of have this facepalm moment in the midst of our story today, don't we? I mean, seriously, Peter, why don't you get it? I mean, keep your eyes on Jesus, for goodness sakes. Didn't you figure out if you look at him, you're going to walk on water? When you look away, you blow it. Like, that's not hard to figure out. Get your act together. Okay, but here's the thing. Failure isn't falling short. Peter's sinking and his subsequent fear isn't the real failure in our story. You see, trying and falling short, that's not failure. But not trying at all, that's where the real failure comes in. And I want us to hear that again. It isn't failure to fall short. We only fail if we never try at all. The other disciples in the boat, they are in an uncomfortable spot. That storm is raging, the boat is tossing, and I imagine so are their stomachs. Their nerves are fried and they're at their wits' end, but it's still more comfortable being in the boat than it is stepping out on the waves. They think the boat is preferable to the unknown. They think it's safer to stay right here in this little vessel made out of wood. They forget that true peace might just be being found alongside of Jesus. So at that moment, they chose the comfortable rather than the courageous, even when the comfortable wasn't all that comfortable at all. And the same thing happens in our own lives too, doesn't it? You see, at times we'd love for something to be different. We'd love to participate in some grand adventure or to try something new or to step out in faith, but often we feel confined to our little boats, whether out of comfort or complacency, fear or frustration or fear of failure. So maybe let's just bring this to life for us. Maybe we'd love to have friends that we can depend on, or a relationship with somebody who can help keep us accountable, but we're afraid. We're afraid of taking the risk and asking somebody to be our friend or asking somebody to step into a place where we can be real with them. We'd love to function in life without the help of alcohol or drugs or porn or fill in the blank for yourself, but we aren't sure if we can make it through the day or take the pain of getting sober. We'd love to have a job that we're passionate about, but we're comfortable enough in the one that we're in to risk something else. We hate it, but it's convenient. We want to be more honest with our parents or our friends or our spouse, but we're afraid of opening up and sharing what's really going on and what's real. Fill in the blank for yourself. What's your boat? What's the thing that might be keeping you afloat, but also from realizing that something else, something unknown maybe, but something else might be waiting out there in the unknown? You see, many of us say we'd like something different than what we currently have, but we're too complacent to go out and get it. There's so much that we want to do and accomplish, so many things that we would love to try, but it's comfortable enough right here. So we might as well settle in. But I think we all come to a point where we wonder if there isn't something more. Or we begin to dream of what God might want to accomplish in our lives. Or we just begin to yearn to be alongside of Jesus. And we realize that Jesus is often out there than right here where we're comfortable. So I want us to think for a moment. What might walking on water look like for you? And that's going to be different for each one of us, isn't it? But what might God be calling you to in your life? So maybe it's developing deeper relationships and asking somebody, can I just be your friend? Or seeking out accountability. Maybe it's deciding to move past those hurts, those habits, those hang-ups that have held us back for so long in our lives. Maybe it's finally speaking up and seeking out help for an addiction. Maybe it's committing yourself to a new ministry or getting out of your normal everyday routine to plug into something that might be more life-giving for you. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's finally learning to say no to people when they ask you to do something because, to be frank, your schedule is just too packed. can't give anything to it, but you're going to try. So you need to learn to say no for your own physical and emotional and spiritual health. Maybe that's walking on water for you. Or maybe it's learning to lean on God instead of placing your trust in other people. Maybe it's putting your relationship with God ahead of your relationship with whoever in your life that you might have put on a pedestal ahead of God. Maybe it's just dedicating 10 minutes a day to spend with God in prayer or study or reflection or listening. And 10 minutes isn't a lot, but for some of us, that's 10 more minutes than we do already. Maybe walking on water for you would just be seeking Jesus for a very short time every single day. And I don't know what it is for you, but what might God be calling you to get out of the boat for and to start walking towards him in? What might God be calling you to have the courage to do? And if you're willing, I'd love for you to jot that down somewhere. If you really want to throw your life for a loop, write it there in the Bible right beside this passage. What is it that's too comfortable for you? What might God be calling you to have courage to do? And I want us to know it's okay not to know that right now. It takes wisdom. It takes asking God. It takes actually listening for his response or asking for his wisdom. You see, too often we take the first thing that comes to mind and we think that's it. And we ignore the fact that there's probably something else that we don't want to say out loud and write down for other people that might be able to see. And we find in our text that Peter didn't just run to the edge of the boat and jump out into the water. This seems like a good idea. I'm going to go do that. That sounds perfect. Okay, that does sound like a Peter thing to do. But what does Peter actually do? Peter talks to Jesus. He says, Jesus, Lord, if it is you, if this is you who is bidding me to do something, then allow me, command me to come walk to you on the water. Peter is seeking God's will, because often our walking on water is simply stuff that we want. Something that might just make us a little more comfortable. So it's okay not to know. But part of our job as Christians is to constantly keep looking for the things in life that make us complacent, that make us sit down and say, this is the life. This is all I was ever meant to be and do. This is where I'm going to stay, right? This is perfection. But Christ calls us to come and follow him. And sometimes that's not comfortable. And sometimes it requires us to walk away from the things that hold us back. Sometimes it requires us to walk on water, even when we don't believe that's possible. We have a God who calls us to courage, as he says, it is I. I am in this thing. So come and follow me. We serve an amazing God. We serve a God who does incredible things, a God who brings about hope and healing and peace in the midst of the most difficult times, a God who shows up in the midst of storms. And he doesn't always do it on our time frame. But he always does it. And wherever you are today, I thank God that you're here. If you are as close to God as you've ever felt, and you are here just rejoicing and praising and lifting that up, that is incredible. And we are so thankful for your trust and your hope that you find in Christ. And if you're on the far opposite side and you go, look, I don't even know if God exists. I don't know if I believe this, but I've shown up today for whatever reason. God bless you for that too. That takes some courage. And most of us in the room are somewhere in between the two. Some of us are in the midst of storms. Some of us, the boat has calmed down a little bit. Some of us are just wondering where the boat is at all. It's just hard to know where we are in life. But I believe we have a God who shows up. And a God who calls us to do incredible and courageous things because he is good. So today, if the courageous thing you need to do is asking somebody to pray for you, then I pray you'll do that. We're going to offer a public time you can do that, or you can just grab anybody and say, hey, I need you to pray for me. Or if it's you need to share about the incredible things that God is up to, we'd love for you to come and do that and just share about what God is doing in your life. Or if your courageous thing is saying, finally, I want to follow Jesus, I want to give him my life, then we would love to do that for you, to help you grow in your faith, to put Christ on in baptism, to become a follower of him. Whatever that courageous thing for you today is, I pray you will do it. Seek God's wisdom. Ask him to lead you in what he would have you do. We're going to offer this time to sing and pray and praise together. If we can pray for you, I pray you'll respond. God bless you today. May you learn to walk on water.
Let's stand. When we walk with